This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, November the 5th, and this is Open Mic. A lot of great stories to get to tonight. A show that features two first-time MHSAA state champions in their respective sports. You know, one's an incredible story of perseverance by a young man from Rochester High School. His name's Chad Anderson. He claimed the Division I singles championship in mid-October. The other, it's a team sport of girls field hockey. We'll get more into that, why it is a first-time state championship at that school, although they have been recognized as state champions in the past. And two new voices on the show tonight, two new sportscaster contributors who you'll be hearing from. I think you're going to enjoy it. One of those voices is Cam Ryan from Detroit Catholic Central. He's going to be stopping by to offer his commentary on the Tigers' biggest decision in some time, really. That is the decision to sign ace Tarek Skubal to an extension or not to sign him. What are the options? What's realistic? What's prudent? That's coming up in just a few minutes. But I do want to start with the expansion of field hockey here in the state of Michigan, girls field hockey. It's an official sport recognized by the MHSAA. We'll get into the history of field hockey in our state, really what it's all about. If you've never played it, never watched it, that is a fascinating sport to follow. But there is certainly a community of athletes who have participated in field hockey. And the history here in the state of Michigan dates back a long time. But it's been almost two decades since the MHSAA, the governing body, has expanded recognized sports. And there has been a recent announcement that girls field hockey, which just wrapped up, and then boys volleyball, which will be coming in the spring. It's exciting because, you know, I think in a lot of areas, we always see, you know, cutbacks. Everybody's always cutting back. But now to see the opportunities grow for high school athletes to have expansion back here in Michigan, I think is a beautiful thing and a beautiful story about the girls field hockey team from Ann Arbor Pioneer. First ever MHSAA state championship as the girls defeated Dexter 2-0. But they have a long history, a long-standing tradition of field hockey at the high school, but again, hadn't quite been recognized by the MHSAA, which makes this story more noteworthy today. Mayor Malcoon, okay, this young man's making his sportscaster debut. First of all, he's got a great name, I think. Mayor Malcoon. He's a sophomore at Pioneer High School, plays baseball at Pioneer, but the focus of his piece today is about the recent history made at his high school, which involves girls field hockey. There is a buzz at Pioneer High, and Mayor Malcoon tells us why.
Today we're talking about a sport that is making history, girls field hockey. For the first time in nearly 20 years, the Michigan High School Athletic Association, also known as MHSAA, has added new sanctioned sports, girls field hockey and boys volleyball. Field hockey is already underway, while boys volleyball will debut this spring. So why is this such a big deal? Field hockey actually has deep roots in Michigan, dating back to the late 1930s. It thrived through the 70s and 80s, especially in Southeast Michigan, before economic challenges in the 1990s and 2000s caused many programs to be cut. However, over the last two decades, the sport has made a major comeback. There are just around a dozen teams in the early 2000s. Now there are already 37 programs across 45 schools statewide. That reflects growth, a new generation of athletes eager to bring field hockey back to Michigan's high school fields. If you've never seen a game, field hockey mixes elements of hockey and soccer. Each team has 11 players playing on a 100 by 60 yard field turf. And make no mistake, it's a demanding and physical sport. Players use only right-handed sticks, and midfielders often run more than 4 miles in a 60-minute match. No team has ever embodied the sport's rise more than Ann Arbor Pioneer, which captured the first ever MHSAA field hockey state championship last week. Pioneer defeated Dexter 2-0 at Northville's high school's Tom Hosier Field, marking their fourth straight title, but the first one officially sanctioned by MHSAA. Head coach Jane Nixon, who's led the program to 19 state titles, said her players didn't talk much about being the first MHSAA champions, but when that final whistle blew, the significance really hit them. Nixon told the Free Press, "We've never talked much about being the first MHSAA champions, but I know when the moment happened, they were so excited for it." Ever since Monday morning, when Mr. Smith, our principal at Pioneer, and the staff sent out the morning announcements, you could feel a little bit of buzz going around the team and the excitement around them as well. The staff did such an incredible job of supporting the girls, even making us students stand up where we were in our classes and give the girls a round of applause. Where I happened to be during this time was my second hour AP US History class alongside Gabrielle Howden and Lucy Pikert, two sophomores who are both members of the history making team. I spoke with Gabby, a forward for the team, and asked her how it felt not only to be the first official champion, but an unofficial two-time champion. She told me, "This year, field hockey is an official Michigan sport, which is huge for Pioneer as reigning champs of the field hockey division. One, we went out to state with something to prove. We wanted to show everyone that, official or not official, we come to win. It was so much fun playing with my team, and definitely one for the history books." That excitement that Gabby shows isn't just about winning. It's about belonging. Field hockey players come from across Michigan now and have their sport officially recognized, giving them a place in the same record books as volleyball, cross country, and swimming. From ancient roots in Egypt and Greece to colleges in England and now Michigan high schools, field hockey's journey continues, and its future looks faster, stronger, and brighter than ever.
All right, way to go, man. Mayor Malcoon making his sportscaster debut here on Open Mic. And what a great story. And that's really what it's all about, you know, the beauty of high school sports. I think we all know that feeling. For some of us, we have to reach a little farther back to remember what it was like being in high school and what mattered to us at that time. But really, high school sports, the community, the sense of accomplishment, especially when you're following a team sport. And then to have a dedicated coach like Jane Nixon, 27 years as the head coach. I was reading an article in the newsletter, actually, for Ann Arbor Public Schools, written by Joe Mathis. And they had talked to Coach Nixon, you know, about her memories kind of coming up. And she said, you know, she grew up in Ann Arbor. She said, in high school, I was on the field hockey, volleyball, track teams. And she remembers, you know, her coaches were her teachers, which is the case in a lot of public schools. She says, "I'll never forget my volleyball coach, who was also my biology teacher. He had a long, dark beard, always wore a tweed jacket in games. And when adversity was staring us in the face, he never yelled. Rather, he would pull us together in a huddle, so close we could feel the heartbeats of our teammates. It was then he would look us each in the eye, not saying a word, just giving us courage, strength, and the belief that anything was possible. Said sometimes it was a driving force we needed to win, but always, even through the disappointment of a loss, we knew we were stronger with lessons learned and teammates that would last a lifetime." You know, that's relatable, I think, to a lot of us. We think about, you know, some of our coaches that we had in coming up. Some of us never played beyond high school or maybe in college. But when you have a memorable coach, you remember how they led. So it's cool now to see Coach Nixon in her own way guiding this program, 19 state championships and now the first being recognized by the MHSAA. So congratulations to the girls there at Ann Arbor Pioneer. Way to go on claiming the state championship, and way to go to our new sportscaster contributor, Mayor Malcoon. All right, coming up next on the show, we know the Dodgers fresh off winning the World Series. What does that mean for the rest of the baseball world? Obviously, the Tigers, big decision to make. What to do with Tarek Skubal, who's entering the final season under contract? We have a first-time guest on the program. He is a new sportscaster contributor. His name is Cam Ryan, a junior at Detroit Catholic Central High School. Cam Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, listen, I'm excited to listen to your commentary here because you're going to take a deep dive into the situation facing the Tigers right now, which is the decision, you know, what do you do with Tarek Skubal entering his final year under contract? Before we get into the baseball specifics, what can you tell the listeners about yourself? Where are you at? What do you do? What keeps you busy?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm a junior at Detroit Catholic Central High School, class of 2027. I'm the head of broadcasting for our media club there. And I do play-by-play broadcasting for CC football, and I will transition into basketball once the football season's over. And then I also run a podcast called Beyond the Game. It is on Detroit Catholic Central's YouTube page, and we basically cover all Detroit sports and Catholic Central sports.
Love it, man. So you're locked in. In a perfect world, where do you see yourself, say, 10 years from today?
10 years from today, I would definitely like to get a job being a sports analyst, preferably in the city of Detroit, just so I can analyze my teams that I've grown up watching and grown up to love.
Yeah, I love it, man. All right, dream big. I think you have a good foundation laid. We're going to focus on baseball today. I thought you provided very thoughtful commentary on, you know, the situation that the Tigers have before them. I think before we all get into becoming a sports analyst or sports broadcaster or sports reporter, you know, at the end of the day, we're all fans, first and foremost. That's where the love began. So I know you're a Tigers fan. As you see this situation, right, there's monetary investment on the side of the club, obviously from a player standpoint for Tarek Skubal. He's got to do what's right for him and his family. none of us truly knows what's going to take place, how it's going to all unfold. And obviously, you know, there's things that'll have to happen that could change. A, what's the market? B, what's possible to get in return? I think you listen to all offers. I think that's just a smart thing to do as any human being. You know, they always say, never say never. But as a fan, so you're a fan, but you get to be armchair GM, even though you're still in high school.
Yeah.
What would you do?
So as a fan and, you know, going down to the ballpark, I love Tarek Skubal, right? I mean, the guy's just absolutely unbelievable. I'm a baseball player myself and I am a pitcher, so there's a connection there. But at the same time, there just is a business side to this. And I think what it's going to come down to is, what does the organization feel like? What state do they feel that they're in? And I think it's been very clear watching the World Series with Toronto and LA that the Tigers just overall aren't quite ready to go take that next step into a World Series and to give that big money to Tarek Skubal. So personally, I think you got to trade him. I think that you have a lot of young talent up and coming. And I think if you can trade Skubal for more young talent and develop them to the point where they're all peaking and in their prime at the same time, I think that's going to be the route that Scott Harris is going to want to take. And I think he's said that a lot, that he wants to make sure he develops his young players. So I think they're going to trade him for a lot of prospects.
Well, it's back-to-back seasons, you know, where they come within a win of playing for an ALCS. And again, you've got to, like you said, I mean, you have to crawl before you walk. It's one thing to get into a wild card, then you get to the DS, then you got to win a CS, then you got to go on and win a World Series. They're close. They are on the precipice. And when you talk about young players in return, just as a fan, when you watch this team, like, what would you say would be, if they were to get a haul in return, what would be the ingredients necessary in order for them to take a next step? Like, are there positions in your mind that they could target, answer those questions that could lift them to an ALCS and potentially a World Series championship?
Yeah, so personally, I think, you know, something that we saw throughout the course of the season and that the fans kind of like to, a spot that they like to blame was the bullpen, right? A lot of inconsistency throughout the season with the bullpen. And so I think if they're going to go out and trade Tarek Skubal, I think they need to certainly be able to get a couple of arms in the bullpen, specifically high velo guys with swing and miss stuff. I think our best reliever or our closer would be Will Vest. The only problem with him is that I don't see him as a definite closing pitcher. I see him as a guy that if we had a definite closing pitcher, he would be the guy we bring in the seventh, eighth inning, you know, try to squeeze six outs out of him before we bring in the guy that can really slam the door. So I think from a pitching standpoint, they definitely need to get the bullpen updated a little bit. And then from the offensive perspective, I think they need a right-handed power bat to complement Spencer Torkelson, because we have a lot of young lefty talent in Riley Green, Parker Meadows, Kevin McGonigal, Max Clark, Colt Keith. Like, we have a lot of lefty guys. I think if they can go out and sign a really good power bat from the right side, I think that could definitely upgrade their full lineup.
Yeah, I feel you. All right, here's Cam Ryan, new sportscaster contributor, a junior at Detroit Catholic Central High School, on the options in play for the Tigers and ace pitcher Tarek Skubal.
Today we're diving into one of the biggest headlines out of Comerica Park. That'd be none other than Tarek Skubal and his contract situation, his letter to Detroit fans, and what all this just means for the Tigers heading into next season. Detroit's ace is arguably the face of the team. He signed a one-year, $10.15 million deal going into 2025 to avoid all of the nonsense with the contract situation and all of that. And he's under contract through 2026. So Tigers have all control this offseason and throughout the season next year, if that's what they decide to do with him. Now, before we talk about the contract situation, let's jump back to opening day of the 2025 season. Tarek Skubal wrote a letter to Detroit fans stating where he was at in his contract situation and his personal feelings about the city and just what Detroit means to him. He said, "Detroit made me better, not just as a pitcher, but as a person. And he called the city a place that will let you fall and fight your way back." I think that his ultimate goal of the letter was to thank Detroit fans, because obviously going into the season, there were a lot of questions about where he was at, where the front office was at, just about the whole sort of situation. And so I think he's very thankful for the fans that was directed to the city of Detroit and to the fan base. However, I think the purpose of the letter was to take the fans' minds off of the situation at the same time. Another quote that I pulled from the letter was that he has unfinished business. So what I saw in that letter was this huge contract situation in baseball where there's no salary cap. It can get really controversial. So when he says he has unfinished business, I think that's a message to the fans. He's like, all right, I've got my contract situation. I just signed the deal for 2025. I'm here for 2025. He's focused on winning games now in the season, getting to the playoffs and performing well in the playoffs, which is exactly what he did. He pitched his arm out against the Guardians, and he pitched significantly well against the Mariners in that game 5 in Seattle. So I think as far as the letter goes, he meant absolutely everything that he said about the culture of Detroit, about the fan base, and just about his personal feeling towards the Detroit Tigers organization. He's saying right now there's a job to do, and he has to go do that job, and that is to win games. Now, let's get into the contract situation. He's a generational pitcher with generational value to whatever the Tigers decide to do. I think that the front office is going to have three options here with Tarek Skubal. Option number one is you give him his money. You're our guy coming off of two amazing seasons. We're going to lock that up, right? We're going to make you a Tiger for life. And that obviously comes with pros and cons. Option number two would be to trade him, right? I said Skubal's a generational pitcher with generational value. That means that the Tigers can go shop him in the offseason and try to fill any holes that they have on the team at the expense of Tarek Skubal. It might set you back a little bit there, trading him. Say they don't make the playoffs next season, but they should still be competitive. Now, option three is where it gets a little bit interesting. You could keep him through the 2026 season. We're going all in on a World Series. We're not going to trade him. We're keeping him here. This is last year. We're all in right now. So maybe you go sign another ace-level pitcher. You bring him in as that 1-2 with Tarek Skubal, and that is your goal. Now, all three options, they come with the good and they come with the bad. What does that mean? Option one is giving him his money, keeping him here, making him a Tiger for life. Well, what would that mean? Well, it makes the fans happy, obviously, right? Tarek Skubal really brought back the momentum towards the end of the 2024 season. You know, he got the job done. And also make sure that you have an ace for the next, I see the deal would be an 8-to-12-year deal. So it locks in an ace for the next decade of Detroit Tigers baseball. And that can also help the Tigers build a starting rotation around him. Remember, they have Jackson Job, who was one of their high prospects. He got a Tommy John surgery in the beginning of the year, so he'll be coming off of that injury. They have Tarek Skubal, they have Jackson Job, and they also have Casey Mize, who's a former number one overall pick. So as far as the pros go, you're keeping the fans happy, you're keeping Skubal happy, you're keeping him here, and you're able to build around him. Now, the cons to giving him that money is, well, it's looking like it's going to be $500 million. That's not pocket change to anybody in sports. And so that's where, are you signing him now or are you signing him later kind of deal works into itself. He's also 28 years old, and he's definitely had an injury history. Now, Skubal came off of a Tommy John surgery, and he worked all the way back up into what he is now as the ace for the Tigers. And the other thing that we have to keep in mind when we're talking about these big, long contracts for X amount of money is the last time that they made a deal like this, it was with Miguel Cabrera, right? They signed him for 10 years, $300 million. You know, the fans were ecstatic. Everyone loves Miggy. We've got a right-handed power bat. He's our guy. He's our three hitter. He's our cleanup hitter. That's our guy. But they signed him for 10 years, $300 million. For about the first five of those years, he was phenomenal. But towards the end of his contract, those last 5 years, the team and Miguel Cabrera were kind of going downhill a little bit. Now, option two would be to trade him. And that keeps their payroll low. They're not giving him $500 million. So they have money to work with when it comes to the other spots that they need to fill on this team to get them back to being competitive in the postseason. They'll be getting a ton of young prospects with value. And something that Scott Harris likes to do a lot, he talks about this in the press all the time. He likes to develop guys that have been in their system for a long time. So you trade Tarik Skubal, you get a bunch of high-end prospects that the organization can develop over time. I think that that is something that's all up Scott Harris's alley. And I think that would definitely be something that he's made public. He said that they're going to try to shop Tarik Skubal in the winter negotiations. And with Skubal being such a generational pitcher with amazing stats, his trade value is about as high as it's going to get, in my opinion. So they'll be able to get whatever they want and whoever they want for Tarik Skubal, and it will completely set you up for the future. And when we look at the roster right now, we see guys like Parker Meadows, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Colt Keith. All of these guys have not quite hit their peak yet. We also have Kevin McGonigal and Max Clark coming up. We should see them in spring training and hopefully on opening day come 2026. So the way I see it, you trade Skubal, you bring in a bunch of prospects on top of all of the young talent that you already have. You give it 2 to 3 years. I think that's when all of these guys start to peak at the same time. And on the other hand, you have the offense who is younger and just needs a little bit more time to kind of find their ground in the offense. Now, the cons, obviously, is that the fan of the Detroit Tigers would be heartbroken. He's really brought that momentum up for Detroit Tigers baseball. And it sends a message to the fans a little bit that, you know, we're just not ready yet. And I think the problem with that is, well, if you're not ready right now, when exactly are you going to be ready to make a deal like this? Because they're coming off of 2 losses in game 5 of the ALDS. So if you're not ready now, what exactly does ready look like to the Tigers organization? So say we trade Skubal away. Well, what does that mean for all these other young prospects that are coming up? Are we just going to develop them, make them really great, and then trade them away and just keep rebuilding and rebuilding? Now, option number 3 is doing neither. So you're not giving him that big extension, but you're also not trading him. You're saying, you know what? We've got you under control for 2026. We're going to go all in this year. We're going to go shop the free agent market. We're going to bring you in more power at the plate. We're going to bring you in some more bullpen guys. And we're also probably going to bring you in another ace level pitcher that's going to kind of work that 1-2 with Tarik Skubal. Because something that was a little inconsistent during 2025 was that they had the 1-2-3 with Skubal, Flaherty, and Mize. And Flaherty was a little bit hit or miss throughout the season as well with Mize. So I think they're definitely going to have to bring in another top level arm like that. So now the pros for option number 3 would be it still keeps the payroll reasonable, right? Now that you're not giving Skubal X amount of money, you have all this money to give to whoever they decide to bring in through free agency. It's going to make them probably the favorites in the AL, considering they keep Tarik Skubal and they bring in whoever to make the offense a little bit better. And it sends a message to the fan base that I think everyone is hoping for, right? That they're all in, that they're ready to go. This is our year. But at the same time, there are some cons that come to option number 3. And that's, well, it'd be World Series or bust at that point. Let's say they keep Tarik Skubal through 2026 and they bring in all these guys and we're great through the regular season. Well, nobody really cares about the regular season. We care about the postseason. We care. We're all in for a World Series. And I think the problem with that is, say the Tigers go out in the ALDS again for a 3rd year in a row. Well, now you haven't really made any progress coming off of last year. And you're also not getting anything from Tarik Skubal, because the reality of the situation is that the Tigers are not going to be the highest bidder for Tarik Skubal at the end of 2026, if that's what they decide to do. They'll be outbid by LA, New York, Philly, right? Like all these huge markets. And so I think that that puts a lot of pressure on Scott Harris and, you know, the entire front office of the Detroit Tigers. And so now we're going to get into what I kind of personally would do. Me, a huge Detroit Tigers fan. I love Tarek Skubal. I was at the game against the Twins where he struck out 13 guys, right? At home, Comerica, primetime, sellout crowd. And I mean, it was just electric in terms of his availability. The best ability is availability, right? So I think that is going to be just a little bit of what Scott Harris and Ilitch needs to keep in mind when they're doing all this. And so when we talk about trades, I looked at some of the other ace level pitchers that have been traded recently. And one that I came across was Corbin Burns out of Milwaukee. They traded him to the Orioles last year for two prospects and the 34th overall pick. They got Joey Ortiz, who's a promising middle infield piece. You know, he's got great defensive skills. He can also hit the ball out of the yard, which was great. And they got DL Hall, who's a lefty pitching talent with upside and potentially a starter or high leverage arm. Well, if they were to shop Tarek Skubal, I think at the very least what they would need is probably two really high prospects. That would consist of a right-handed power bat, right? Because we already have the lefty talent in Clark, McGonigal, and Riley Green, and Cole Keith. We get another right-handed power bat next to Spencer Torkelson. Right now we've got a fluid order from 1 to 9 in the batting order. So we get a right-handed power bat. And then the other problem that we kind of had with the Tigers throughout the course of the season was the bullpen, of course. So say they don't go get another ace-level starting pitcher because they have Jackson Jobe and Casey Mize, I think you need to get bullpen guys. So I'm thinking you get your right-handed power bat, and then I'm looking at three bullpen guys with high velo and swing and miss stuff because that's just not what the Tigers bullpen has right now. They have Will Vest, who's their closer. But to me, Will Vest, he's not a natural closer, right? Like they need a guy that can come in and that's he's sitting 102 and he's just putting guys away, right? He's got a, you know, a filthy slider. Someone like Emmanuel Clase, right, from the Guardians, who was great for so long, or Aroldis Chapman. Like we need a definite closing pitcher. And then you bring in a couple of other guys, also high velo, swing and miss stuff. That kind of completes your bullpen, and then you have all of this hitting talent that is coming up and uprising. So when it comes to trading them and how it would kind of look for the Tigers, it might set them back a little bit in terms of maybe they don't make the playoffs come 2026, right? Maybe they're just on the edge, but they still should be competitive enough. Now, the way I see it is with Green, Torque, Kevin McGonigal, Max Clark, like all of these guys, say you go get a bunch of other guys that are all young, give it 2 to 3 years, they're all going to be peaking in their prime. And I think that is when you say, okay, we're going all in. We're going to go to free agency and bring in whatever piece we need. If we're going to be World Series contenders, I don't think Wencel Perez can be our cleanup hitter, right? I think we need a definite part of the order that can get us runs in October. So that's kind of my take on the Tarek Skubal situation.
That was Cam Ryan from Detroit Catholic Central High School, one of our newest sportscaster contributors, and really thoughtful commentary. You know, it's certainly a story that will dominate the headlines in the coming months and into next season. How's it going to play out? That remains to be seen. I do want to mention that the Cy Young Awards will be announced next Wednesday, November the 12th. Tarek Skubal, along with Garrett Crochet of the Red Sox, and Hunter Brown of the Astros. You remember Hunter Brown, the former Wayne State product, grew up in St. Clair Shores, had a heck of a season. He's a heck of a kid. But Skubal right now, the likely back-to-back Cy Young winner. And he would join some elite company in the Tigers organization. Max Scherzer, of course, won it in 2013. Verlander in 2011. Willie Hernandez back in 1984. And Denny McClain won it outright in 68 and then shared it with Mike Cuellar of the Orioles in 1969. You know, many of you may play tennis. I have tennis courts across the street in the park near my house. Grew up playing tennis with some friends, but never competitively, not like our next guest on the show. I want to tell you, in this year's Division I singles championship, we're talking high school tennis here back on October 18th, it was an epic match. Rochester senior Chad Anderson is taking on Ann Arbor Pioneer freshman Grant Miller. Now, Anderson entered the state finals unbeaten. He was a top seed. But he was suffering from leg cramps early in the match. In fact, he dropped the first set to Grant Miller. It was the first set he had dropped all season long, but he battled back. And according to Jared Ramsey in his article in the Free Press, he said Anderson ingested as much mustard and Gatorade as he could stomach to help offset the cramping. Now, I know Gatorade helps with cramps, but I did not know that mustard also can be helpful. He said his trainer worked on stretching him out, and then Anderson fought back to win the second set and then force a winner-take-all third set in the finals, where he persevered to claim the Division I singles championship at the Greater Midland Tennis Center. Sportscaster's Gavin Vlasovic from De La Salle Collegiate caught up with the recent champion to talk about his experience in becoming a first-time champ.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Gavin Vlasovic, and today we're diving back into the world of tennis with someone who knows what it takes to compete, focus, and grow both on and off the court. Joining us today is standout player from Rochester High School, Chad Anderson. Welcome here, Chad.
Yeah, thank you.
So first, how did you get into tennis and what made you fall in love with the game?
So my dad played in college, and then he got me and my brother started really young, and me and him both just kind of pushed each other really hard to get better, and we grew to love it through that.
When you traveled to the MHSAA state championship that you crushed, what was going through your mind at that time? And you started off 5-1, it got a little close, and then you rallied back to finish 7-5. What was that like?
I mean, it was, I was super nervous, and like the dream for me had to been to win a state championship. So I was under a lot of nerves and I struggled a lot, but it was a lot in my head for sure.
What is it like to be a state champion now? I know a lot of high school players around the state and around the country always strive to be that. What's it like to be a state champion?
I mean, it feels really good. It felt like surreal, I think, for the first few days. Yeah, I mean, it's a lifelong dream come true for sure.
When you're training maybe every day and physically and mentally, what does that look like for you?
So the average day, maybe I'll play for 2 hours. So I'll go play with a friend and practice, and once a week play with a coach for an hour. But yeah, it's a lot of going out early mornings or on the weekends and getting practice when you can. Right now it's indoor season, so it's hard to get courts, and you normally have to do it pretty early in the morning. But yeah, it's tough for sure. You're out, you're up early and out late to practice.
You've been written as such a motivator for not only your teammates, but also yourself. With tennis being such a mental game, what keeps you focused and confident, especially during a tough match like the state championship?
I think reminding yourself how hard you work in practice and how much you push yourself, that you can always, there's always more left in the tank, and there's always more to play for.
When you look into the matches and the moments of your entire career that have extremely tested you and maybe have pushed you to persevere through the time, how did you bounce back from it?
Every loss is a learning experience, I'd say. Every time you play someone better than you and you lose, you can take away part of their game, even if it's mental, that they did better than you and that you can just keep applying. And I think there in that match, I applied pretty well at the end and fought and stayed, kept my head on cool. It's something I learned to do. It did not come naturally for me to do that.
What have been some of the things outside of losing or struggles? What has been something separate that has taught you to keep that strength and persevere through it?
I think my brother helped me a lot with that. We always talked a lot about the mental side of the game, and he was a big role model to me. And he definitely helped me a lot on how to fight and how to persevere better.
When we talk to a lot of our listeners, many are high school students balancing schools and sports. What advice would you give them to stay motivated and stay balanced?
I think during the school season, when you're super busy, you've got to prioritize a little bit more. If you want to win a state championship, maybe prioritize a little bit more on sports and do your schoolwork more in school. I was super busy out practicing before state, so maybe 3 to 4 hours a day every week, and then it's super busy and schoolwork late at night. So yeah, it's very busy days, and you're going to have to make it kind of a lifestyle.
You're obviously moving on eventually from high school. What is next in your tennis career?
I'm going to play tennis at Marquette in Milwaukee. So teaming up with my brother again, which is exciting.
Is that part of another offer or a scholarship as like other sports?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your time today, Chad. We really enjoyed talking to you. We appreciate all your motivating speech. Ladies and gentlemen, Gavin Vlasovic here with Chad Anderson on tennis and motivation.
So how about that? You know, here's what's interesting about Anderson. He reached the state championship match when he was a sophomore in the number two singles, and then as a junior in the number one singles, but he lost both times. So with his victory, he is now the first boys tennis player in Rochester history to finish as an individual state champion. So congratulations to Chad Anderson, showing some grit and, you know, a little mustard, a little Gatorade to help persevere. But big things ahead for him. But honestly, really good stuff and congratulations to him and all the students over there at Rochester. And our thanks to Gavin Velesevic for that interview. Want to thank all our guests today, Chad Anderson, the high school state tennis champion from Rochester High School, and to Gavin Velesevic from De La Salle Collegiate for that interview. Also want to thank Cam Ryan, who came on to talk about the Tarek Skubal situation. Cam Ryan, a new sportscaster contributor from Detroit Catholic Central, and Mayor Mal Coon from Ann Arbor Pioneer on the girls' field hockey program, claiming the first ever MHSAA state championship. All good things. As we hope every week, there are good things to be gleaned here on Open Mic. Again, we come on every Wednesday here on WJR from 8 to 9 o'clock. We appreciate you tuning in. Big things coming up next week as well. Until next time, I'm Johnny Kane. Godspeed.